listen to me right as the nappy time hits. So I know you'll all be very excited, and you know, I'll do my best to try and make sure you're not jerking your head down too hard when you're dozing. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Kenyon Mao. I run a search practice in the area of cybersecurity here in northeastern Ohio. And my purpose in coming to you today is simply just to kind of talk about something that a lot of us get kind of excited about, and it doesn't matter what area of work that you're in. When you're looking to make a change for whatever reason, and someone says, "Hey, I'd like to have a conversation," a lot of us get real excited, and then we go, "Holy crap, now what?" All right? And I've certainly been there myself over the years, and it's taken me a while to kind of get comfortable with that. So, hoping that over the course of our time together, we'll talk a little bit about the interview and what could you take away from this. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to kind of try and go through. Some of this might be common sense, like, hey, been there, done that, makes sense. Others, maybe I'll hopefully give you a new spin on something or something you hadn't considered. And obviously, as time goes on, you know, I'm certainly, be happy to help anyone beyond that as well. So it's kind of interesting that the timing of all this with, because as I kind of studied employment trends, especially in cybersecurity as they relate to what's going on in the world, you know, that we've tended to see spikes happen right around times of significant cyber activity. So like when Sony was hit, how many of you guys remember Sony? Spike.
Which time?
Both, yeah, all the time.
It's like every 2 years.
It's
almost like you're setting your watch to it. And then, of course, with WannaCry that just came out, it's going to be interesting to see what comes with that. And then, has anyone, and I was talking with Justin about this, and I saw briefly, has anyone seen what they're talking about as being the next iteration of WannaCry? AcklBuzz or something like that?
I just heard about it earlier.
Okay, so is that like we're still too soon? Okay. So here's the reason why I mentioned that is because with that kind of going on and the amount of attention that it got, not only just here in the United States, but all over the world, I'm going to be interested to see in the coming weeks, are we going to see another potential spike in people finally saying, oh my goodness, we need cybersecurity. How many of you, I mean, all right, by a show of hands, how many of you have not experienced that wherever you work, right? Everyone's looking at me like, which time, right? So anyway, so I'm hoping that, you know, this timing will work out, and, you know, whether you're looking at something internal to your own company or external, you know, this is hopefully some good stuff. And, you know, looking at the employment landscape here in northeastern Ohio, there are a lot of different organizations of all shapes and sizes and so forth, and different ways of going about interviewing. So I've tried to encapsulate or incorporate a lot of different ideas to try and bring that together here. So basically, you know, our roadmap for this evening is essentially this. I'm going to kind of briefly talk, very briefly, about kind of what's going on, into what goes into an actual interview, the various types of interviews, and then ultimately themes and questions. And I'll have more to say about why I'm kind of putting it in those terms in a little bit. So, if you think about interviewing and you think about the whole, you know, job process, again, and when I say job process, I will use it intermittently between internal and external, that is to say moving up within your organization or going and finding something else for any other reason. It's a lot like dating, right? You're trying to find out if both sides are compatible and you like each other and that sort of thing. So it's like getting to know you, right? One thing that can I found that really helps people, you know, relax a lot when it comes to the interview is, hey, you have to get to know them too. So you have some level of control here. It's not as if you know, you're going up against the 500-watt Klieg light or something like that. But obviously, it's an opportunity to try and put your best foot forward. Because obviously we have a small community here, and even if for whatever reason the opportunity that you're talking to about may or may not come to fruition for whatever different reason, you and that person may you know, cross paths again, and hopefully you'll want to try and make a positive memory for that person rather than a negative. And in 30 years of doing this, I can certainly tell you a lot of stories about people I remember, but not necessarily for the right reason. So So let's start with the phone interview, okay? So first step, you know, your resume has been, you know, reviewed, and or your application, if it's internal, and they say, okay, we want to get together and we want to have a phone conversation with you. Well, a lot of us have gone through that, right? So hopefully there's not a whole lot here that'll be terribly new to you. I mean, basically, the reason why what goes into that is it's quick and efficient on the part of both the candidate and the company as well. It's usually seen as a first step, not always, but usually it's seen as a first step. And what you're trying to do in the course of the phone interview is simply nothing more than continue playing, continue the game. Make sure you're setting up whatever the follow-up conversation might be. It may take the form of another phone call, hopefully not. It'll be an invitation in to try and, you know, get some face-to-face time. But don't lose sight of the fact that it's a very, very important part of the overall process. So, you know, again, there's a lot out there that even, you know, you can probably find on your own. But here are a few things that, you know, I would recommend that you kind of keep in mind as you think about having to do a phone interview with anyone. And the first one is, you got to be comfortable. So what I mean by that is, if you think about it, it's a phone interview, so no one's going to be able to see you. So if you're if you are taking it in home or something like that, you can be in your jammies. You can have your fuzzy bunny slippers. And I know Justin has a pair of those. They're pink, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so you can be wearing that sort of thing. Whatever makes you feel comfortable. Because obviously, you know, you're probably going to be under some stress or might feel some stress, so you want to feel as comfortable as you can be. So make sure that you're dressed comfortably and you are in a good, comfortable space. So because, you know, this is a phone interview, here's the good news. No one's going to see you, so no one will see that those fuzzy slippers or the fact that you've got your, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt on or something like that. But the flip side is you're not going to be able to see them, and so what they're going to be judging you on in many cases are going to be the forms of your words, the tone of your voice, and the types of, and the sentences that you use. So there's going to be a lot of effort put onto that. And for anyone that might be in a position where you're going to be maybe involved with a lot of public, you know, call like a phone center, help desk, or, you know, something along those lines, or maybe if you're going to be on the SOC a lot doing phone work, then that becomes even more and more critical. So one thing to keep in mind is while they don't have to worry about seeing you, you have to think about what kind of position you are portraying, you know, with the non-visual. You certainly want to be organized. So what does that mean? So what are some things that you think you might have along with you if you're doing a phone interview? What are some things maybe some of you have used?
Pen and paper.
Pen and paper. Why is that important?
In case I need to write anything down.
Write something down, right. What else?
This copy of whatever you send the interviewer.
Right. So that might mean what?
Cover letter, resume.
Exactly.
Information about position.
Right. Job description, hopefully, if you've got one off the job posting or something like that, have that in front of you.
Whiskey tumbler.
A what?
Whiskey tumbler.
A whiskey tumbler. Well, then say that for afterwards. But you were saying what? Right. Especially if it's a new company or maybe it's a different division or something like that, something that's unfamiliar with you. You can have all of this spread out on a desk or something in front of you, and as long as you know where to find that information, that's going to be beneficial for you in case you need to pull from that. Or it'll hopefully maybe trigger something in the way of a question or an answer or something along those lines. Yes, sir?
Your website?
It could help too, yes, absolutely.
Oftentimes, there are these many lists of like interview questions, right? And so you can print them out, write down answers, and have it with you so that you remember the points that you want to make.
Yes.
You know, when something, you know, not that you read it off, but that, you know, you can give good examples.
Yes.
Of,
and we'll actually talk about that in a few minutes. You're jumping ahead.
I was actually
going to say that. The reason, actually, it predates when I ever had a wiki.
I was going to say, was this pre-wiki?
Yes, before that.
I was going to say, I probably do a lot of OSINT on people who are interviewing me. Mm-hmm.
background for both LinkedIn and personalities and certain terms. Gives me an idea on what their interests are, and then we can start conversations towards that. Also, I wanted to say that the words, tone, and voice pacing is very important. I've done interviews for people on the phone. They seem very rushed, or it's much better to be calm, make your thoughts clear, ask a moment to compose yourself and then answer.
Exactly. So there's nothing wrong with taking a moment to take a deep breath or to ponder a question. Or, and as Jess was saying, you don't talk too fast, because then if I talk too fast, then somebody may understand what you're saying. But then, you don't want to take too long. And for those of you that are fans of Bob and Ray, you'll understand what I mean by that. So being organized, and all these are great suggestions. So, you know, whatever can work for you. And obviously, the more information you have about what's about to happen, whether it's a 10-minute conversation, a half-hour conversation, that will also help, perhaps, your organizational skills. But in the absence of having that, it's better to be over-prepared than under-prepared. So one of the other things that comes across very easily is let them hear your smile. How many people here listen to DJs on the radio? It doesn't matter what the format is. It's on the radio. Can you hear their smile when they're smiling at you, even though you can't see them? Okay, well, that could be that case too. But you can hear the smile, right? Because the voice goes up. And that's something that's very important, you know, for you to try and get across. Now, granted, you don't want to be spending the whole half hour talking like this, because you're going to sound like Mr. Rogers. And that might not be what the person is looking for. But to be able to take and use appropriate times for smiling, you know, when like you're taking the call, hello, this is Kenyon Mao. Well, hello there, Justin. Good to hear from you. Yes, I'm happy to. And then at the end, you know, Justin, it was really nice. I really enjoyed our conversation, so forth and so on. So make sure you let them hear your smile. So those are just a few things that you can do. Also, how many of you, when you've done a phone interview, stand up? Very important to do too. If you forget about that, because so many times we want to sit down, we want to be comfortable, but you know, actually, getting up and pacing can actually help. If you've ever seen me when I work, fortunately I have a headless headless cordset, yes. What I meant to say was, there's no head. A cordless headset, you know, I probably walk about 5 miles a day, just because it's not only gives me exercise, but it helps you focus, and you sound more confident when you're standing up than when you're sitting down. So consider that as well. Okay, so you've made it through the phone interview. So you've been smiling, you're standing, you're organized, and you've made it past that. Now, it's time for the in-person interview. So what's important here is now we're getting closer to where the rubber is going to start meeting the road. Because now it's going to be visual. So there are going to be some first impressions that you're going to want to try and get across to your interviewer or team of interviewers in the course of your time there. Because again, the idea is you're wanting to move to the next milestone. And there could be a variety of different things that could happen. This could be all done in one. So one and done, many organizations try and do that. Some stretch it out, maybe intentionally. Other times, hey, you know, you have to still meet with Bobby, and Bobby wasn't here this week or this time, so we have to invite you back or have another time for you to do that. But nonetheless, you're trying to move the ball forward, hopefully to the point where if you're liking what you're seeing and hearing, and they like what they see in you, you know, you're talking, you know, offer or promotion or whatever that goes on there. But the ultimate idea of, hey, do we like each other? Are we going to work well here together? So some of the things, again, that come into play here, you would be surprised how people are late to interviews because they don't know where they're going. Or they didn't take into consideration traffic. Because when you're doing a one and done, many times you might have to be there at 8 o'clock.
Use the elevator.
And sometimes people don't always take into consideration traffic, traffic concerns or anything like that. So sometimes it's a good idea, maybe the night before or time before, drive out to the location, check it out, make sure you know where you're going. It's a way of seeing what's going on. You know, we all understand things happen. So there are times when you might be in an accident, get a flat tire or something like that comes up, and obviously that's a whole different situation. But you know, to be there and be there late for, you know, less than a good reason like that, that sometimes can be the tipping point to whether it's you or somebody else. So always knowing where the location is. Obviously arriving early, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Not the least of which is you tend to get more relaxed. Studies have shown that when people go and do stressful things, and we would consider interviewing a stressful thing, allowing for a little extra time can help reduce that anxiety. It's still going to be there potentially, but reducing that can help you tremendously, because there's nothing worse than going, oh my God, I'm late! And then you get there, and then you're still kind of wound up, all right? So you're kind of like Tom there, you know, when he sees blue and red colors on the screen. So it's the idea of, you know, trying to arrive early and, you know, take a deep breath and then start thinking about what comes next. Obviously, bring extra copies of your resume. You just never know whom you're going to be asked to meet with. Schedules change. People don't make it in. People are tied up. You know, they replace somebody, they may not have a chance to look at your resume. You may even be interviewing that person and they just ran from one meeting to you and you don't have an opportunity. So be prepared, show that you're a thoughtful person. Here's my resume. And then you have yours, and then open up, hopefully you're bringing a portfolio or something like that, because from there then you can obviously compare notes. So much like we were talking about before with the phone interview, when you're trying to be organized on the interview, and you'll have talking points hopefully from your resume in and of itself. So remember, it's all about, you know, creating positive first impressions. We don't know when we're going into those interviews on site what the process may lead to. Hopefully it's a one and done, but you never know if there'll be more coming, or if there might even be, who knows. Sometimes, you know, you may not even get the job you're interviewing for, but you did such a good job of selling yourself or whatever skill set you may have, they may say, hey, you know, we like you, Mr. Lohr, but we have another position that we were just thinking about, or we'll come back to you and say, you're perfect for that. So again, you still might be able to get, you know, what your ultimate goal is, which is, you know, a different position and so forth. So. And as was mentioned before, getting information, as Justin was saying, get some intel, you know, and what you were saying, get some more information on the company, you know what they do. Believe it or not, you don't go into interviews and they have no clue what the company does, or they just know one line on the Wikipedia line. So, you know, they go to Wikipedia.
That's pretty good.
And it's not always a good first source, at least that's what we always said in education. But and then they can't say much more than that. So you don't have to necessarily know, you know, what's on the fourth page of their annual report in the footnotes, but obviously having some idea of what they're all about, what they're doing, if asked, and or we'll talk about how you can turn that those questions and to your advantage in a little bit, will certainly be to your advantage. And then, much like Justin was saying earlier, knowing something about the person or people, if you find out what the itinerary is, may also help in terms of being able to say, hey, I see you went to Kent State, Justin. I went to Kent State too. Hey, when were you there? Did you know? And next thing you know, hey, you might be someone that they like.
So most of those interview processes involve some sort of ice-breaking mm-hmm. elements, and if you can help lead that ice-breaking time, they're going to be more comfortable with you.
Yes.
And want to open up to you about opportunities.
Exactly. Exactly, especially in a lot of technical areas. Not everyone, as we well know, is as outgoing as, say, a salesperson or something like that. And, you know, and here's another question I get a lot of the times is like, can I take notes? And I might, absolutely, take notes. You never know what you might find. I think that question was asked earlier. And, you know, you might find if you're having a series of one-on-one interviews, something that was said in one interview might be able to come back and help you with somebody else in terms of being able to, you know, take a bit of information and apply it somewhere else, or be able to show, hey, I took notes and I'm able to apply it, and so forth. Sometimes they look for that. You know, have 8 to 10 questions ready to go, not just in general, but 8 to 10 questions if you can per person. Now, you might say, oh my God, Kenyon, that's a lot. And I'm like, yeah, that is. But if you think about it, some of these questions, and we'll talk more about those here in a few minutes, you can ask repetitively. You can ask multiple people, so that will take you know, reduce a lot of what you're maybe having to think about asking. And here's the philosophy behind having more questions than less is, you know, you're going to be in a stronger position if they're saying, okay, you know, Tom, we have to cut this off now because I have to get you to your next interview and you still have more questions, rather than, you know, you go through it and then after 15 minutes they turn around and say, so, what questions do you have? You're like, I don't have any. That's not good.
Another aspect of that is studies have shown that people like to talk about themselves, and if you let them talk, they will actually perceive that they like you more.
Exactly.
So you're endearing yourself to them by letting them speak about the company, about the opportunities, and why it's great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or, let's say for instance, you're going to interview with someone and you find out that they wrote maybe a patent or something like that, and you can say, so, I understand you wrote a patent. Can you tell me a little bit about what was behind that? I mean, imagine if you're someone that wrote something like that and someone took the time to find that out about you. You know, more times than not, someone's going to just, they're, you know, at that point you can just sit back and start taking notes because they're just going to keep talking. So, it's always better to have more questions that maybe you don't know necessarily get answered than to be there and have nothing else and be like, okay, I'm done.
You mentioned briefly about the portfolio, but not just have a portfolio book, but actually samples of or wins that you may have felt you accomplished.
Yep.
For like for part of open source projects, you may not be able to bring previous work.
Right.
Because of reasons, but
right.
You can open source projects or community driven things or activities or points that you've spoken, like at NeoISF.
Mm-hmm.
Bring those up and have documentation on that.
Right. So, because that comes in a little bit in terms of themes to try and bring with us. I saw another hand somewhere.
Yeah, so to add on to what he said, you were making fun of reading the annual report, but a lot of times, like actually reading the annual report, you can tell what are the business reasons mm-hmm. that they are driving after. So you can have those examples be teed up to what they know that the business issues are.
Yep.
And for asking questions, it's also oftentimes good to talk to the secretary or the security guard or whoever that kind of gatekeeper person is, mm-hmm. because you get an aspect that's not part of the interview, mm-hmm. and so you can tell what their culture is like a lot of times.
Well, I was just talking about the fourth footnote on page 7 on the, but you know, on the thing, but even still, yeah, you got a great idea.
Knowing about people info, doing the research, and knowing about what technologies mm-hmm. they are familiar with may help you either study up or mm-hmm. bone up on that particular concept, because they may be using that in the organization.
Right. And another thing to keep in mind, too, is, you know, and you brought up a very good point, is you when you go somewhere, especially for an on-site interview, you want to treat everyone you come across like they are a king or queen. In one of my previous jobs, my best spy, when I was head of recruiting for this manufacturing organization, was the receptionist. Because she sat there and she watched them, because they would come in and they would fill out their application, and then I'd take the application, go and start their interview. And then I would say, so tell me, what did you notice, Jill, about this person? I got lots of great information. And it saved me a lot of headache with some people. So again, be thoughtful about when you come in and you're talking to the receptionist or whomever who you see, you know, treat everyone with respect and pleasantly. And like you were saying, even maybe inquire a little bit. So you can even find out a little bit about, so the receptionist, so how long have you been here? What do you like about being here? So again, people like to talk about themselves. And it's okay to ask for business cards. They may not have them with them, but you know, because it's gonna make sending the thank you note so much easier. And I would highly recommend you do that, because only 20% of people that interview send thank you notes. Believe it or not. And which part? Do you want to be the 20% that people remember, or the 80% that they remember because you didn't send anything, or ultimately they forget? Yes, so.
I remember asking this before. Paper or email?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So actually, great question, thank you. It's either is acceptable in this day and age. So if you wanted to take the time to send a handwritten note, perfectly acceptable. As a matter of fact, some people may even go, wow, this person actually took the time to write it, which is a good thing.
Use the mail.
Exactly. USPS would appreciate that. But so the only thing to consider, and you know, that kind of counters that, is because we become so enamored with email and the speed with which that happens, and decisions can sometimes be made so quick, it might be to your advantage to email it to that person so that they see it, because they could have made the decision on whether you're continuing on in the process or not by the time they receive it. And sometimes that could be the tipping point. Yes, sir?
Actually, it broke a pancreas, I just had a mosquito.
Okay. So, right, and that's one way of making sure you do that, or at least having some template or templates. Some other little tricks that come into play when it comes to thank you notes is, if you're sending a thank you note to multiple people, try not to make them the same, because I will tell you from my own personal experience, I was someone that would compare. Said, oh, here's the thank you note I got. What did you get? Oh, you got the same one. Oh, what about you? Oh, you got the same one. So. You know, because, I mean, the idea being that, you know, did you take the time to at least try and personalize it? And did you, you know, so it just means you're going a step further. So it's not bad to have everything teed up, ready to go, so you just put a name in and whatever, but the fact that you're able to relate something, perhaps, in the course of the conversation that is unique to that conversation, you know, is been typically seen more beneficial than just kind of a broad kind of thank you type of thing. But nonetheless, a thank you note over a no thank you note is well thought of.
This has to come back, but knowing the location, arrived early, but I know parking is sometimes, you may have the address, you may have MapQuest, Google Maps in.
Maps on us.
AAA.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
AAA, right?
TripTick.
So, you may have known the actual location, you know how to get your route,
right.
But you know, are you familiar with where the parking is going to be and how you're going to get it?
Mm-hmm.
In addition, having a little bit of something to eat before
yes.
you go, and skip the coffee in the ride.
Yes.
Because by that time you're already dressed up and you can't adapt to the fact that you make a mistake, and Murphy's Law is going to make a mistake. So stick with water, but have your coffee in the morning, a little bit of food.
Right.
And the entrance too.
No,
there's a lot of locations that have multiple entrances or
yep.
multiple buildings on campus.
Oh yeah, there's different towers.
And that could be a total nightmare.
So sometimes it's good to, going back to the period of time between the phone screen and when you're invited on site, ask, you know, if just make sure you understand which building am I coming to, if it's multiple sites, where's the front, and do I need to bring anything? Because more and more, as we know as security folks, that more and more places are looking for picture IDs or other such things to validate who's coming in the door. So something else to certainly keep in mind there as well. So these are probably the more common interviews, but we're also starting to see panel interviews. Anyone been through one of those? Okay, yep, and I think we're gonna start seeing more and more of those as we go along. There's a lot of, companies are seeing a lot of advantages to that in terms of seeing how people react under pressure, people hearing the same answers, and time and efficiency in terms of trying to get through the interviewing process. So we're gonna probably, I think, see more panel interviews as we go along here. And I know, again, knowing the Northeastern Ohio employment landscape, a lot of companies are doing that already. So the good news here, when it comes to thinking about panel interviews, is that really, conceptually, it's no different than, you know, the one-on-one interview in terms of being able to answer questions and ask your questions and so forth. So there's not much difference there. Where the difference lies is now, instead of having a one-on-one relationship with someone, you have multiple eyes on you. And depending on how big the panel is, and you're sitting there on the other side of the table, you might seem like you're watching a ping pong match going on with who's asking questions. So that's where the pressure starts coming in, as you become more aware of the fact you've got more than one person looking at you, and more times than not, we're more comfortable with one-on-ones than multiple on-ones. So, you know, and the fact that you might find that some of the questions will be more rapid fire. So person over here asks a question, you answer it, then they get a question over here. Sometimes that can be part of the test, see how you react when there are panel interviews, most times than not, there's more than just, oh, it's a convenience thing or whatever. I mean, they might say that if you were to ask, and that might be true, but they're usually also trying to see how you might react to pressure, to maybe you know, a more tense kind of situation and something like that. The key here is making sure that you focus on the group. So if I were being interviewed by, say, these three here, and I'm over here on this side answering the questions, as I'm answering their questions, I'm making sure I'm looking at all three of them or four of them in the eye as I go about answering my question, but making sure I start and end with the person who asked it. So I might say, hey, that's a great question, let me explain that to you. And then as I'm explaining it, I'm looking at everyone so no one feels left out, but I'm trying to make sure I come back and then make sure, and did I answer your question? And then go off to, then the next person might come off and then say, okay, here's the next question. So that's the real trick with panels, is just making sure everyone's included, everyone, that you're not excluding anyone or anything of that sort. So questions about the panel? Not that I know you, not that you're shy about asking me questions. So basically, as I kind of said here, you know, it's basically include everybody. You know, if you need to, refer back to something that someone else had said in the course of the interview, maybe, and just make sure you're paying attention. The last type of interview that can come in either as a first, as a part one, part two, or sometimes even part three, depending on what and who was involved, is the infamous Skype interview. Does anyone have a Skype interview? Okay, few of us. So again, because we're working remote more, or we're having people in multiple locations in charge of others, more and more companies are going to Skype interviews. So that is something new for some folks. And what I can say is, in this particular case, if you're ever asked to go on a Skype interview, think phone interview with just a picture. So, you know, you need to think about, you know, what is going to be seen, picked up by the camera on your laptop or by your camera as you go forward talking to whomever. So appearance and background are going to be very important here. So for those of you that had a Skype interview, how did you handle the picture portion? How did you appear dressed, if at all?
Well, for me, the Skype interview was actually a panel member was on Skype.
Okay.
So I had an in-person, but one of the members.
Okay, so it was kind of like a reverse.
Yeah, it was kind of reverse. It was
interesting.
A little
okay.
Strange, but.
Okay, well, you were dressed properly.
Yeah.
I set up for one of those by making sure the computer actually like ran the thing, like actually do the test, get somebody, like one of your friends, and say, like, okay, can you actually see me? And all that kind of thing. And it didn't.
Oh.
So I wound up using my phone instead. So I. What I tell people, it was a Cisco telepresence interview, because I took all my Cisco books and I stacked them up, and then I put the phone on top and I ran Skype.
Brilliant.
And then they just called me on the phone.
Okay, Charles.
Continuing with the theme of other way around, I've conducted several Skype interviews, and for me, in order to make sure that I was well presented to who I was interviewing, I actually had a standing desk and my computer up. And so it was uncomfortable for long work periods, but as far as being able to seemingly look someone in the eye and hear them well, it was actually better to have that elevator myself standing rather than slouched in the chair.
Right. So again, if you're in the comfort of your home doing this, you have control. So again, the idea of standing, just like we're talking about in phone interviews, can be very, you know, and because, again, when you're standing, you feel more confident, you sound more confident, and it can really make a big difference there. Yes, sir?
The other thing to remember is that when you're doing that, you are now a 3-foot-tall face. So certain things you become much larger or more obvious, so, you know, a smudge or hair or, you know.
You mean that big hair on the end of your nose?
Yeah, that one might want to be removed first.
Right.
Before.
Well, like here, if you notice here, you know, this person is basically kind of midsection up, and that's typically the way, you know, you might find it. Now, again, some of it may depend on your program and how you have to angle it, and if you're having to do what Chris was talking about, which is stack all your textbooks to, you know, lean it up there just so it goes just right. But it comes down to preparation for that. And then thinking about, again, in this particular case, making a good impression. So unless you know otherwise, And I know some organizations are saying, hey, you know, I don't want a tie, I don't want a sport coat or anything, but it's usually probably better to err on the side of that than not, if you don't know, is at least make sure your upper half is, you know, business formal. So, you know, because that's what they're going to see. Now, let's hope that, you know, if you're doing that, you don't something doesn't happen and you have to, like, stand up or move and then they see your Bermuda shorts or something, you know. But that, what? Shorts.
Other people wear pants.
It's optional.
That's right.
The other thing is control the unexpected. So if you're facing a window, draw the shades.
Yep.
If you have small children, don't pull that BBC guy or whatever.
Yeah, lock the door.
Right.
I was just going to say, this picture with the window behind her, with a Skype interview I had, if the light is behind you, you're going to be the shadow.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, a lot of light is helpful.
Right.
A lot of light in figuring where it's coming from.
Well, and that's one reason I picked that. I'm glad you picked up on that, because I was going to say, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
Is the thought about making sure your lighting is good.
Expanding on the lighting, good lighting, but you actually want to have diffuse lighting. So you
yes.
can bounce your light directly from,
and check how it
back
hits
the
you.
Wall
yeah.
or something, and then come back. You're going to get a much softer
studio
shadow.
Right,
up.
Yeah.
Make
in screen.
Make it
all those photographers out there. You
but the wrong light can be make these hard shadows, that,
yep.
and then when you see it on the screen, you're like, I wouldn't hire that person.
Exactly. Everyone, ever remember that Seinfeld episode where he was dating a woman and there was one, you know, when she was in good light, she looked wonderful, and when she was in dark light, not so much? So it's kind of the same concept. Now, the other thing, to your point, is trying to also be aware of what's going on behind you. So, like, ideally, having a window like that may not be the best thing to do. But then again, think about what you want at you as your backdrop, whether it's curtains. You may not want to have that, be up against where they can see that Michael Jackson tour poster behind your desk or something like that. So, you know.
Picture of the Capitol building. You know,
right, yeah.
One of the other things is also when you're talking about the background is noise.
Yes.
So if you have outside noise or whatever, if you have windows open or something. And a Skype thing that I had with my son, even though it wasn't an interview, was that we were Skyping and he was sitting in the chair and he had his laptop on his lap and he was sitting in a rocking chair. So I'm going like this for about 2 minutes and I'm seasick, and I finally said, stop the rocking chair thing. Because you'd see him, his picture would be fine, mm-hmm. but the background just kept, you know, it's like you're on a ship.
Right, yep. I remember back in fifth grade, I did that. I had to give up and do my book report or whatever, and I remember back then, real nervous, and I would just rock back and forth, and then I just happened to notice the whole class was rocking with me. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh yeah, phone charge or battery.
Right, make sure you have backup. Make sure your phone is fully charged, and that goes with your phone interview. Have a backup. Have your laptop, if you're going to Skype off your laptop, plugged in or sufficient charges and everything.
A lot of times it's audio sounds better when you have a headset.
Yes.
Rather than using the built-in, it's a laptop
right.
or your phone, using a speakerphone.
Right.
And I know that when I've been interviews, an interviewer, I've always preferred to hear you clearly rather
right.
than, and hear and see a headset rather than
right.
background.
Right. I just recently had a candidate that was that's been going through the interviewing process, and when I talk to him normally, it sounds like he's in a tin can in Russia. So it's been very hard sometimes. I have to tell him, can you change it around? And I said, whatever you do for your phone interview coming up, make sure that doesn't sound like that. He was able to get the next step, so we're good there. So I think a lot of what I came up with. And what we've talked about, you know, when it comes to Skype interviews, and again, they're a distant cousin to the phone interview, are make a lot of sense here. So what you can kind of do for that sort of thing. So when it comes to what are the secrets to preparing for an interview of any sort? It comes to you can't be ready to answer each and every single solitary question the way it's asked. It's just too many different ways and too many different things that can come into play. That you know, most of us, I know I couldn't ever remember how to answer that exactly. So what I've encouraged people over the years is think about the themes, common themes that you're going to be asked. And if unsure, this is where, as we mentioned earlier, if the taking a moment to think about it, asking a clarifying question can sometimes buy you a moment to ask, to be able to think about that. But think about it, especially for us here in this room, you know, a lot of times a common theme is going to be your technical prowess. Okay, what skills do you have? What have you used? When have you used it? That sort of thing. So, I mean, that's kind of a gimme. But beyond that, and this goes back to what we were talking about before, is you want to make sure you get your successes across to all the interviewers. You know, what are the good things that you have done? What are the good things you've started? What are the good things that you've improved upon? And to the extent that you can say, I've done what I've done has led to these, you know, good things by increasing good stuff by X percent, which hopefully is on your resume, but if it isn't, make sure it's in your interview, will certainly help make your case. And the same thing goes true of stopping or reversing bad things, being able to say, hey, shut down, DDoS is by 45% or something like that. That's stuff that usually catches people's attention. So one of the themes that you want to have ready as you go through your interviewing process at any level is talking about your successes. Obviously, you know, you may have to talk about your failures too. That always makes it a little uncomfortable, isn't it? Right? Because we don't always like to talk about the things that we're not good at. But, you know, what can come from talking about a failure? Or even if they're not giving you the opportunity, how might we approach a failure in the course of an interviewing situation? What did you learn? And that's usually the theme that comes out of that is, you know, they may ask you, so tell me about a time that you did something and you failed, and they may or may not then say, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, so the process of recognizing it and then avoiding it. Right.
Exactly. So, so the good news is that even when it's sometimes, you know, when we're unfamiliar with it, when they ask us that weakness or that failure question and we panic, it's really a great opportunity for us to, you know, sell ourselves, you know, in what we are able to bring. Obviously, we're talking about strengths, we're talking about weaknesses. And ultimately, what you're trying to get across is to the person interviewing you, what can you, the candidate, do for me, the hiring manager or interviewer? So all the things we're talking about here devolve down to what can you do, okay? So that's why it's not only is it important to be able to talk about your technical skills and what you've been able to do with them, but, you know, tie them into your strengths, tie them into your successes. And then, you know, try to use weaknesses or failures as an opportunity to show them that you're not perfect and you can learn from them, because no one here is perfect. So some themes of questions that might come your way in the course of an interviewing process might be, what are your three strengths? Or some variation on that. And that's the easy one, right? What are you good at? Well, you know, I'm great with this, this, and this. But then, we usually like to follow up with, and what are you weak at? And what is usually, and as we were saying before, when it comes to the weakness question, what are we usually trying to do to really, you know, make sure we don't hang ourselves with that? Question?
Spin it in a positive.
Trying to take something that we have and make it a positive. Terms of maybe it's something that you've worked on and you're aware of, and trying to say, hey, this is a, you know, when this happens, it's usually because I'm doing something good. I'm spending more time with my customers. I'm diving deeper into code. I am researching more of this or whatever, which, you know, ultimately knowing what the, as we said earlier, having the job description, knowing what the job is calling for, you know, being able to take, you know, maybe attributes of that go into that specific position and then making that your weakness, you know, and then spinning it in a positive sort of way will help you with that. What kind of people do you like to work with? Fair question, right? So be ready for being able to answer that. Ooh, describe your last boss. How many of us would like to get the axe out and just start grinding, right? But that's not what we want to do. We want to try and talk about them in positive aspects to the as what seems appropriate. You know, that's usually a situation where good one-on-one coaching on the situation will come into play. But, you know, things like, oh, he or she was a jerk. Oh, they were, oh, probably not the thing that you want to say when it comes to that, because they are looking at you as, well, yeah, I might be your boss, so I don't want you thinking of that way. You know, and ultimately, why do you want to work here? So hopefully, you know, whether it's through your own research and or through the interviewing process and asking questions, which we'll get to here in a second, you know, you'll be able to answer these types of questions when they're asked of you. Yes, that's a great answer. Needless to say, Justin would be on the outside looking in at that point. Unless he was a salesman. So, you know, where do you see yourself? You know, or things like that in terms of your career. Where would you like it to go? What would you like to do? And obviously things that are going to be more job specific, relating to the area of maybe security you're going to be in or whatever. So believe it or not, going back to what we were saying before, a question?
I was just, one of the items that I've seen a lot is, why do you want to leave your current position?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what makes you want to go out there and look for another job?
Or what caused you to leave your last employer or some employer along the way based on your progression? So you want to make sure you're ready with good answers there that hopefully are either reasonable, i.e. the plant closed, the handwriting was on the wall when they were purchased by the equity company or something like that, or, you know, I wanted to move on for a better opportunity, or this opportunity found me and I moved on to this and so forth and whatnot. So many times, and this kind of goes back to something we said a little earlier that not everyone always thinks about, especially when it comes time to the, so what questions do you have for me portion? But, you know, sometimes the best way to start is, how did you happen to get here? Or why are you here? And not only is it good to ask that to, you know, get them to start talking about themselves if they haven't done so already, but also you're trying to get information from them because you have an agenda too, right? You're wanting to see, okay, why, you know, why would I want to come work here? And they know that. So you're trying to find out what it is about them. And if you're asking everybody you're interviewing, especially your hiring manager, you know, that's hopefully going to work in your favor in either like, hey, I can get real excited about this, or, you know what, maybe this isn't the place for me. Because that sometimes can be equally as important as whether you get the job or not. Because remember, again, it's a two-way street. So along the same lines, what attracted you to this company, Mr. and Ms. Interviewer? What kind of traits equate to success here? So a good way of asking, what kind of people do you like to work with? And obviously by getting this information, especially up front, if you're doing a series of one-on-ones or panel interviews, you can then start taking that information and applying it in subsequent interviews. So they start hearing a theme. And at least it shows that you, if nothing else, you're a quick learner. But hopefully, you know, you're also hearing stuff, you know, that's meaningful to you. You know, what kinds of people do you like to work with? You know, or going back to what's been said earlier, how has or how would, insert fact from wherever you find it, impact, you know, this company? Something along those lines. Great opportunity to try and show that you've done research, that you've done your homework, and you're trying to find out what more to do there. Additionally, what are your plans, you know, for the next 5 years, and how might my job impact that or be impacted by that? As well as if you're interviewing and you're talking to a peer, so you've talked to, you know, you've interviewed with the hiring manager, you're maybe interviewing with a peer, you know, you might ask that peer of their hiring manager, would my role interact, and if so, how would my role interact with you? So a lot of times that's a good thing to throw in there. So hopefully, going back to what we were saying earlier, when it comes to, oh my God, Canyon, how the heck am I going to get 8 to 10 questions per person? You're hopefully starting to see some opportunity here and how some of these you can just ask everybody. Why are you here? What brings you here? Some other ones I don't think I put on here involve, you know, if you're talking to a peer of this position, maybe saying, what brought you here and what kind of training did they give you when you started? What were some of the obstacles that maybe you encountered when you started here?
What does your day look like?
Right. Things like that. But be ready for that. There is no such thing as a typical day.
The other one is, what kind of conflict, internal or external, of the organization happens in that role? So if you're doing support, who are your problem customers, things like that?
Right. So
there's a lot of runway there for conversation.
Right. So there's a lot of good questions that can be asked of peers, or if you're going in and talking to a management, maybe for a manager role or the tech lead, and you have the opportunity to talk to some of the folks that would be reporting or working with this at a lower level, you can ask them a lot of interesting questions along the way, whether they're formalized or sometimes, you know, you never know. You might find, you know, you're waiting for something, like you're waiting to get into a conference room and then there's somebody there talking and they're a junior, you know, junior SIM, you know, coordinator, and you say, hey, you know, let me ask you a few questions, even though you're not on the interviewing thing. You never know. That sometimes can work, you know, to your advantage. So, in review, you know, first of all, as I think we've said, it's going to come down to preparation. Preparation, preparation, preparation. The more you do, you know, better to over-prepare than under-deliver. Think more along the lines of when it comes to questions that are coming your way as a course, and again, this is true even in the phone or on-site Skype or panel interviews. Try and think, you know, thematically about what the question is, and then that will help direct you to the answer that's going to be best at answering that. You know, be relaxed. You know, a little tenseness is okay, but you don't want to be sitting there shaking or having your voice crack, sounding like you're going through puberty another time or something along those lines. For the most part, people will be understanding if you're a little nervous, but if you're a lot of nervous, yeah, it may not necessarily work. So trying to relax as best you can will work better. And, you know, just simply do your homework. I mean, again, I think, you know, a lot of us, it sounds like we've done this and we've been through these types of things before. So if nothing else, I'm hoping that a lot of what we've talked about, you know, is refresher to what you may have experienced. So, also make sure that you complete all paperwork. So if they send you the application, because some companies will send the application afterwards, or you may have to, you know, in some of the smaller companies, maybe you have to go there and still fill it out, by hand, believe it or not. Go more and more going online. You know, you just want to make sure, you know, you have, you know, you follow what they ask you to do with paperwork, and, you know, and asking the question, okay, if they don't tell you, what would you like me to do with this? Do I bring it with me? Do I send it to you? Do I put it to the portal? Whatever. But just remember, most of all, just be yourself. You know, and let things go as they may. So with that, our questions that we haven't already addressed, can I try and answer it this time?
How do you usually handle the I want your salary, your previous company's salary question?
It depends on kind of where it is in the process, but I would say the deeper you go into it, all things being equal, give it to them. Just give it to them what you've made. Now, what tends to happen is that, and I've done enough of this so I know how that works, is designing, you know, the online application that you have to fill out, and the fact that you can't skip over that question. So I'm going to be very specific in whether it's a range or an exact number, and if you don't give me, if you try and go to be determined, you know, negotiable or whatever, it ain't going to happen. So truth, I've always said truth is the best way of doing it. Other questions? Well, again, thank you very much. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your questions. I hope this is helpful. If you have any other questions afterwards, I'm happy to help. Thank you.